Good morning. Like she said, my name is Savannah Davis. I am finishing up my master's under Darren Dodds at Mississippi State, and today I'll be presenting cotton varietal response to potassium application rates under irrigated and dryland conditions. Potassium is essential for optimum cotton production in that it's necessary for the translocation of carbohydrates, water and cation balance, as well as photosynthesis. Sufficient potassium levels in cotton will protect the plant from disease, improve boll set and development, and increase fiber production and quality. Cotton is generally more sensitive to potassium deficiencies than other crops, and that's been attributed to the fact that it has a less dense root system in comparison to other agronomic crops. Cotton has also been bred to be faster maturing and higher yielding, and that higher yield potential has increased the demands of the crop. This article is a Mississippi State Extension article from 1989. On the left-hand side of the article, that section that's circled, is saying that in 28 years prior to this experiment, the time between planting and harvest of cotton has decreased by 1.18 days per year. So it would be interesting to see, you know, if that trend has continued, which I'm sure it has. And on the right-hand side, we have our OVT average yield for 1989, and that was 1,360 pounds to the acre. And our state average yield in 1989 was 736 pounds to the acre. But when you look at this past year's average yield, our OVT average yield didn't differ much from the 1989, but when you look at the state average yield of 1,155 pounds to the acre, you can maybe attribute that to improvements in management practices, and we're figuring out how to really grow the cotton and produce more. With the breeding programs that have been developed to create a higher yielding and earlier maturing variety, we've seen widespread potassium deficiencies more common in the Cotton Belt, and this is especially in areas that where the soil has tested sufficient or adequate in potassium, and this has been attributed to environment and cultivar characteristics. In terms of environment, anything that inhibits root uptake or root growth will have an impact on potassium uptake, like nematodes or hard pans in the soil, or lack of or excess moisture. And cultivar characteristics, when you're talking about having an earlier maturing variety, that change in growth habit may have an impact on how that cotton responds to fertility. In terms of symptomology for potassium deficiencies, there'll be an intervenal chlorosis and a reddening of the leaves, and in severe cases, a premature defoliation. And throughout the season, where that deficiency symptomology presents itself will change. Before bloom, that'll be in the lower canopy, and after bloom, when bolls are set, you'll start to see those deficiencies in the upper canopy. Over time, potassium demand of the crop has increased. In 1970, Bassett et al. Reported 9 kilograms of potassium was removed for every 100 kilograms of lint. And in 1990, Mullins and Burmester reported that 15 kilograms of potassium were removed for every 100 kilograms of lint. And Mullins and Burmester did look at different cultivars. I do not know where they fell in the maturity spectrum. But he did not see any difference, or they did not see any differences between their cultivars that they looked at. Cotton is also blooming quicker than it has in years past. In 1990, Mullins and Burmester reported that cotton bloomed at 65 days after planting. And through some conversations with Dr. Dodds, he's observed that in optimal growing conditions, he's seen cotton blooming as early as 52 days after planting. So that shift in maturity, along with the higher yielding varieties that have been put out onto the market, in combination with that increase in potassium deficiencies that we've seen, has led us to try and determine if cotton cultivars of differing maturity will respond differently to potassium fertilizer application rates with respect to growth, yield, and economic returns under irrigated and rain-fed environments. This experiment was located in Starkville, Mississippi at the Plant Science Research Center from 2016 to 2018 on a Leaper silty clay loam and a Marietta fine sandy loam. At the start of the experiment, our soil test K levels were considered low according to our soil test results, and you can see those there, 155 for the Leaper silty clay loam and 117 kilograms potassium per hectare for the Marietta. Plots were 3.9 by 9 meters in length. We had four replications in the Leaper location and three in the Marietta. Experimental units were placed back into identical locations annually to reduce air associated with fertilizer carryover. The cotton cultivars that we used in this study were Delta Pine 1518, which is an early maturing variety, and then Delta Pine 1646, which is an early mid maturing variety. Cotton was seeded at a rate of 111,000 seeds per hectare, planted generally in early May. We had to replant 1 year in the Marietta location, so we have a June 1st planting date on there, and our cotton was harvested in October. Irrigation was another factor that we included in this study, and we monitored soil moisture with watermark soil moisture sensors that were placed in the field at depths of 15, 30, 60, and 90 centimeters. And the weighted average of these, when that weighted average reached negative 100 kilopascals, is when we triggered irrigation, and we irrigated with polypipe, and our plots were either irrigated or they were not, so they were rain-fed. Muriate of potash was applied pre-plant using hand spreaders at rates of 0, 56, 112, and 168 kilograms of potassium per hectare, and then they were lightly incorporated into the soil. In terms of experimental design, we had a split plot within a randomized complete block. Our whole plot was irrigation, and our subplot was cultivar and potassium application rate. Our data were analyzed in SAS using the PROC-GLM procedure and initially regressed on K-rate, and our non-significant model terms were removed sequentially until a satisfactory model was achieved. So moving into our results, we're only going to look at the Leaper location for the sake of time. And this graph is looking at first bloom leaf K concentration for the Leaper location. So on the vertical axis, we have leaf K concentration in grams potassium per kilogram. And then across the horizontal axis, we have potassium application rate. So the red lines on this graph, the red solid line is Delta Pine 1518. The red dashed line is Delta Pine 1646. And for 1518 and both 1646, the intercepts were averaged over year and irrigation to try and help clean up the graph a little bit because they had the same coefficients for the linear coefficients. So for Delta Pine 1518, there was an increase of 0.008 grams potassium per kilogram. And for 1646, there was an increase of 0.015 grams potassium per kilogram for each additional kilogram of potassium applied per hectare. And the black lines on this graph are the solid black line is rain-fed, and the dashed black line is irrigated. And the same thing for this, the intercepts were averaged over year and variety for each line. So rain-fed increased at a rate of 0.015 grams potassium per kilogram, and irrigated increased at a rate of 0.008 grams potassium per kilogram. Moving to 4 weeks after first bloom, this is our leaf K concentration, which is again on the vertical axis, and across the horizontal axis is potassium application rate. For this graph, data were pooled over variety. And then the intercepts were averaged over year and irrigation. And for this graph and the one before it, we only took tissue samples in 2017 and 2018, so that's why there's no 2016 in either one. But for this, there was an increase of 0.01 grams potassium per kilogram for each additional kilogram of potassium applied per hectare. I'm going to move to soil test results and then go back to yield. So soil test K at the end of the season each year is on the vertical axis, and then across the horizontal axis is potassium application rate. And these are, again, data pooled across variety. And the solid black line is rain-fed environments, and the dashed black line is irrigated. And the intercepts for these were averaged over year. So each year in a rain-fed environment, there was an increase of 0.59 kilograms potassium per hectare. And in an irrigated environment, there was an increase of 0.32 kilograms potassium per hectare. Looking at lint yield, this is only showing Delta Pine 15-18 or 16-46. The coefficients were not different than zero, so it wasn't significant. And these intercepts were averaged across year in irrigation, and there was an increase of 1.9 kilograms per hectare for each additional kilogram of potassium applied. So moving into economics and our returns on investment, this is for the rain-fed location. And here, when 168 kilograms of potassium applied, we saw our greatest return on investment of $241 per hectare. And our lowest return on investment was a loss of $35 per hectare when 56 kilograms of potassium were applied per hectare. In the irrigated environment, there was a negative return on investment for all potassium treatments. We had the least amount of loss when 168 kilograms of potassium were applied per hectare of $33. So in conclusion, our soil test K levels, leaf K concentration, and yields generally increased linearly as K application rate increased. There were still potassium deficiencies observed in all experimental units regardless of potassium treatment. And our lint yield was affected by cultivar in this environment, which does not agree with Mozafari in 2018, who did not observe any differences between potassium response to short and long season environments. However, Clement Bailey and Guafmi observed a more determinate cultivar responded to potassium fertility. Applications of 168 kilograms potassium in rain-fed environments resulted in our greatest return on investment, and again, in our irrigated environment, no potassium treatment achieved a positive return on investment. So in our case, in this low-yielding environment, irrigation was not an economical option for us. In terms of future research, I like to continue to evaluate the impact of irrigation and potassium application rates on varying crop maturities, as well as to evaluate nutrient uptake rates in cultivars of varying maturity. I'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated for partial funding, Darren Dodds, Jason Kreutz, Jack Barco, Tyson Raper, and Jeff Gore, who are members of my committee, graduate students, student workers, and the Mississippi State Farm Crew for all their help. And with that, I'll take any questions. Yes, sir.
Savannah, I noticed in your beginning you were talking about two different. It was only, I think, one of your introductory slides that you're talking about the change in the cotton, but you had it in days after planting. I think you were referring to a NutriHouse publication and maybe one of the others, but it was listed in days after planting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's that much difference if you converted that to days, growing 3 days? Because cotton grows the basis of heat, and one of the things that's happened in Mississippi over the last several years is that we have actually moved our planting date later because we found no need to plant early when we had to replant, especially as seed prices got so much more expensive. So I'm not sure there's as much difference if you do that on growing 3 days as it was, because if the plants come out of the ground in 5 days as opposed to come out of the ground in 10 days,
yes, sir, I did. And his comment was about whether he thought that days after planting would be the same difference as if it was growing degree days, and I think that's something to look into for sure.
What did you said the levels that were initially available year baseline. Ours is 160 ppm, so we start flying further north and west of you.
So his question was, what's the baseline for where we start applying fertilizer from our soil test results? And it's based on CEC and where it falls. So with the CEC where we were, we would typically, I think when the when it's considered sufficient, I don't have the exact number, but it's definitely more than this. It was, we would definitely have to apply, and our typical recommendation is 120 pounds to the acre.
Now, do you take, do you have a soil test you took right at planting or just prior to that, or was it just at the end of the season? And I missed that.
I didn't mention that. The question was if we took a soil test at the beginning of the season and at the end of the season. We took them at both beginning and end of the season. Sir?
Then how did they compare?
He asked if they, how do they compare to each other. There really was not much of a difference. I didn't run statistics on them, but definitely not much of a difference between them. Yes, sir. So the question was if we looked at fiber quality as a factor, and we did. Elongation was significant. There was an increase in elongation as potassium application rate increased, but the differences between those values were not in the range where you would be discounted in terms of fiber quality. Thank you.
This concludes our all presenters, and thank you all for being here today.